Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino down there in Studio X, navigating the ship through a treacherous sea of last week's of the off season. We're almost to the beautiful shores of the football season, but until we get there, Captain Rhino will continue to get the boat in the right place. We are brought to you by our good friends over at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg.com is the website. We'll be telling you about some of the great stuff going on in my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. And, of course, if you want to talk to us here on the show, the C Spire text line is available to you, 601-879-4395, as we talk some Mississippi State football here on this show as camp, preseason camp, that's not what season it is right now. I don't want to hear about autumnal camp. I don't want to hear about that. It's 100-plus degrees outside. So we'll talk about that. Also, just a quick reminder, or I guess to go back to last week. My car was not stolen. It was out there in the parking lot. Just had a little mix up there. No worries. No car stolen. No flat tire. I got home in a reasonable time afterwards. So in case you had spent the whole week wondering. Did Brian's car get stolen? It did not. So, good to be here. I was at camp today. I wasn't at camp. I was after camp. I was there to talk to Jeff Lebby. We're going to play you that audio a little later here in the show in about 12 minutes from now. And you'll hear from the Bulldogs head coach and what he had to say following practice today. I want to say with Lebby, there's a... Are you getting coach speak out of Lebby? Of course you are. He's a coach. That's just the way they do business. But I do feel, especially, you think about the last two coaches at Mississippi State. Mike Leach, God bless him, but getting a football-related answer out of him was like pulling a tooth. I mean, the man just did not want to just go dive into the what had happened at practice today. He had other things on his mind, and everybody loved him for it, including this guy. So, no worries. Arnett was the coach speakiest coach speaker that ever did coach speak. I mean, everything out of the man's mouth was a cliche. And every time we spoke to him from the fall on, it was just so uncomfortable. He just wasn't comfortable doing the job that he was doing. And then probably should have picked up on that a little earlier than I did. But it is what it is. With Lebby, there's a comfort level where I feel like the answers he's given us are good. I don't feel like I'm just getting nothing out of Lebby when we talk to him in these post-practice interviews. I feel like we're getting some real information. Is there cliches in there? Of course there are. But he is answering the questions, at least, I feel. So that's good. That tells me that he's confident in his own ability, and I don't think Arnett was a season ago. I think Arnett was looking at us and thinking about the season and saying to himself, "What have I gotten myself into?" And with Lebby, I don't think you have that issue. Lebby has been prepared for this, and he knew his time was now, and he's ready to take the reins of a major college football program. Now, that being said, he's poor mouthing a little bit. You'll hear some of that in this segment coming up, and you heard it a week ago when he first spoke to the media. This was his second time to speak to the media post-practice. His third time will be Sunday when they scrimmage. The first scrimmage of the preseason is next Sunday. No media or fan access to that, but we will get to speak to him after. So hopeful, you know, to hear from him about what his team did well and, of course, what they need to work on. But they, of course, there's some poor mouthing. I think that's just college football coaches. The first time I meet a college football coach who just comes out and tells you, "Oh yeah, we're in a good spot. We're going to be really good this year." I mean, Saban didn't do that stuff, you know, and that's the rat poison. If you listen to Kiffin's first press conference a couple weeks ago, he was stressing that we know we have all this experience and talent coming back, but it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything, and he's right. He's right. So, you know, I think all of us in every job we know under promise and over deliver is that's the key to having a long, successful, fruitful career in literally any job. So Levy has gotten on board with that. You know, when we talk to the players, they seem to be echoing what Levy is saying about getting better each day. That is a phrase I've heard from a bunch of different coaches, or different players, I should say. And you know, again, it's very coach speaky. It's very cliche. Of course, you're trying to get better each day. Nobody's happy just sitting still. So, a couple of texts here on the C-Spire text line from Danny in Columbus. Where does Jaden Wally fit in this year? That's a really good question. You know, we've been waiting on Wally. He had that monster freshman year, and then since then he's just battled injuries and he just hasn't been the same player. I think he's healthy now, but there's a lot of talent in that wide receiver room around him with Kelly Akari and Kevin Coleman, with Creed Whittemore, and then the freshman. And then a name to watch, and you're going to hear Levy talk about him, is Jordan Mosley, the transfer from Northwestern, this is his third year in Starkville. He's battled injuries, and it's just never gotten it going, but apparently he's having a great offseason. We'll see if it translates in the fall. So I don't know where Wally really fits in. From the 225, really worried about quarterback situation. Chapin is fine, but after that we drop off tremendously. We have to keep him upright. The problem with this is that's true about 99% of college football teams in the country. I mean, what is Ole Miss if Jackson Dart gets hurt? What is Texas? I mean, I know Arch Manning is there, but the kid's never played. But if Quinn Ewers gets hurt, what if Garrett Nussmeier gets hurt at LSU? What if Jalen Milroe gets hurt at Alabama? Every team, you know, once you lose your starting quarterback, you're in trouble. Obviously, you want to keep your starting quarterback healthy. Obviously, you're better when your starting quarterback can play. But that's not a unique to Mississippi State problem. That is a college. I mean, the only team that off the top of my head where I say, okay, if they lost their starting quarterback, I don't think there'd be that huge of a drop off is Georgia. And that's because their starting quarterback started a bunch of games last year at Arizona State, Jaden Rashada. So, yeah, I obviously you want to keep shape and healthy. And the one thing I do wonder with that is how much do you use Chapin in the running game? When Levy has been successful in his offense, the quarterback run has been a big piece of that. You know, especially at Ole Miss when he had Corral. Corral was our leading rusher in 2021. So how much can you ask Chapin to do from a running perspective if you are that concerned about where his health? But that being said, I don't think I think you have to just call plays. And we talked a couple weeks ago to the assistant coaches, and we talked to quarterback's coach John Holosek, and he's like, look, we're not going out there running quarterback power 15 times a game. To which Dan Mullen said, what? Sounds like a great idea. But he made it clear, he's like, you know, when you need to run, when you need to take off, Chapin can do that. So, and Chapin's a good enough athlete. I'm interested to see what he looks like running the football. Because he didn't do much running at Baylor. You know, what can he give you in this running game? You know, and State's going to be doing everything by committee in the running game anyway, with Booth, with Lee, with Pittman. So I don't know how much they can rely on Chapin in the running game just yet. And I don't know how much they want to rely on Chapin in the running game. I do think, and I've said this before, I think this team is going to be pretty run heavy. I think that with what you've got this year, I think that Mississippi State thinks that the best way to be successful is to run a really high tempo running game and to try to get to the line, spread guys out as much as you can, but then hit them with the run. That's a good equalizer nowadays in college football when you don't have elite wide receiver talent, which I don't think State does. I think State has a good wide receiver room, but there's not an elite guy in there yet. There could be by the end of the season. We've talked about it a few times, talked about it earlier today on Sports Talk Mississippi, that this offense has always produced a receiver who puts up huge numbers. So that guy's in there. I don't know who it's going to be yet, so we shall see. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Jeff Lebby, hear what he had to say after practice when he talked to us in the media today, get his thoughts on they're about a week in now, what he sees from his team, what he likes, what he doesn't like, and what he wants to see going forward. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. This Saturday in Vicksburg is second Saturday, so from 3 to 6 at Crawford Square in downtown Vicksburg. It's an opportunity for the community to shop downtown, listen to live music, learn from featured artists and artisans, and much, much more. There'll be live music by Austin Davis at Gordon's Alley. For more information, follow at Vicksburg second Saturday on Facebook. I don't know what Facebook is. Facebook. Or email Vicksburg second 2ND Saturday at gmail.com. Earlier today, Mississippi State head coach Jeff Lebby met with the media following his team's practice. Let's go down to that video. The first question is a particularly handsome one.
I asked you a couple days ago, what do you want to see the second day of practice? And you talked about what we'll work on in meetings. We're correcting that. Is that what you're seeing thus far?
It's been some of that and not as good as we want it to be. You know, I think that's the reality of it. We talked about it this morning in the team meeting. You know, guys fixing problems, you know, in the meeting room and being able to take them to the field. So we've gotten a lot better at that, but still wanting to be a lot better.
Gabe Moore yesterday put on his Facebook lily that he's sitting out this year for health issues. Do you have any other information regarding that? Or?
No comment on it. We'll keep it internal and in-house, but hoping the best, wishing the best for Gabe.
How has the defense kind of looked and progressed throughout camp?
Yeah, I mean, the last 2 days defensively really dominated the practices. Today was a little more even match, but defensively a lot of really good things, creating turnovers, having unbelievable energy and toughness and physicality. Today, again, was a little more back and forth, but that's what we want to see. You know, you want to see things not go well and then somebody respond, and you also want to see true back and forth. But Coleman and the defensive staff have done a great job with those guys, getting them ready to practice every day.
What's your process for installing your offense? I mean, you did it in the spring, but as far as training camp is concerned, how quickly do you want that to be processed by your guys and taken in?
Yeah, we're being incredibly aggressive with the install. You know, we want to apply as much pressure as we can mentally and physically so we can see what guys we can go count on. You know, and our guys, again, they've taken to it. They've done a good job with it, but we've been really, really aggressive with the way we're installing through the first 10 days of camp.
Having most of that offense here in the spring, able to go through it. How big was that as far as transitioning to, you know, preparing for game one in a few weeks?
No, it was huge. Our guys got really good knowledge about what the expectation is, how we want to go play, how we want to do what we do. There's still a ton of growth to be made at every single position. But again, man, they've got great intent. They've had great energy in the building. We've been so far from perfect. It ain't funny, but at the same time, our guys are wanting to get better. And if we'll continue that, we'll be where we need to be.
You had 11 new starters on offense a season ago. How does the chemistry and the cohesiveness of this team compare to some of the veteran teams you've worked with in the past that have played together for years?
Yeah, I think it's different just because we haven't had that first one together. You know, and until you truly do that, I think there's some unknown. I think with the way we've trained, with the way we've worked, with the things that we've put them through, and how we've tried to connect as a locker room and as a program, I think it gives us a pretty good idea of the guys that are all the way in. And so those are the guys that we're going to count on, the ones that we would trust to go get it done.
How have the Russell brothers looked in practice so far?
Yeah, they've been good. It's been, again, they've got a ton of work to do. Monte's done a really good job. Monte's brought it every single day. He's had great energy, played with really good toughness. So really proud of where he's at and how he's turning into a really good leader for us.
We got your first.
We talked about Kelly Jones yesterday. He's certainly not lacking in confidence. What have you seen from him in camp, and makes you think he can really be that next step down corner?
Well, just today he got beat on a couple things. There were bang-bang plays, but what I loved about it is he just ended the day with a 60-yard pick six. He's just playing the next play, and a guy that's getting out of his own way, he's preparing the right way, he's taking care of his body. This guy's incredibly talented, but he's a dude that is thankful for opportunity, and you see it on his face, you hear it in his conversation, and he'll be a guy that maximizes his potential.
You've got your first scrimmage this weekend of the camp. What's something that needs to happen between now and then for you to feel good going into the scrimmage?
Yeah, I think offensively, when we look at it, we want to play clean football. So we're going to play with a ton of tempo. We're going to play really, really aggressive. But from a penalty standpoint, pre-snap penalties, making sure that we're playing really clean football and not shooting ourselves in the foot is critical while taking care of the ball. And then defensively, it's all about getting the ball and then getting off the field on third down. And those are the things that we'll continue to look at. That's what we want to make sure we continue to clean up before we get live on Sunday.
Jordan Mosley has been a guy that's been around a couple of years. How does he kind of fit in with your offense? What do you think of him so far?
Yeah, he's done a really good job. That's one that we're going to be able to count on. He's worked at a really high level. He's brought guys with him. Jordan, I'm excited about what he's going to do for us this fall.
Was there any kind of, I mean, coming into here with a bunch of turnover on defense and whatnot, was there any level of concern that you had about the defensive side of the ball? And you mentioned dominating the last couple of days of practice. Has that kind of, any, you know, concern you had, has that eased down the last couple of days of practice?
No, I mean, again, inside the building, I think other people might feel a different way than I feel. You know, I know who we have in our building. I know the coaches that are coaching them every single day. We'll be prepared to go play the way we need to play. And I feel good about where we're at. We got to get a heck of a lot better in all three phases. But at the same time, we got people over there on the defensive side that are going to be able to get it done.
Blake has obviously emerged as your QB1. What have the other couple of guys looked like, Chris and Mike, battling behind them?
Yeah, competing every single day to be the two. You know, finding a way to create some separation. And it is, right now, it's neck and neck. We've got to take great care of the ball. Got to create predictable outcomes. That's all I talk about with them. I want to be able to call the play and know what's going to happen before it's snapped. And so that's where we're trying to get. Chris has done a good job. He's got great athleticism, got great toughness, great energy. And Mike doesn't know what he doesn't know, but he's really, really talented, throwing the football, very accurate. So these two guys got a ton of work to do, just like Blake does. But I like how they're going about their business.
You mentioned pre-snap penalties a minute ago, something you wanted to clean up. Is the team doing okay with the tempo that you want to play at?
Yeah, they're figuring that out. Obviously, the spring was a huge part of it, just understanding that. And so we've picked up kind of where we left off, and we've been able to build on that. So they understand what we're trying to accomplish, how we're trying to create advantage and create an edge through that, and doing a good job for the most part.
Kelly Akari named to the watch list for the Blitnikoff Award. What have you seen from him and how he's fitting into this offense and feel like he's in that spot?
Yeah, Kelly, again, is a guy that's played a ton of ball. Our expectation is that he's going to play a ton of ball for us and have a bunch of success for us. So he's got to continue to work and create this consistency for him to be able to go do what we all want him to do.
What have you seen from Trent that's in the Devon boost?
Yeah, Trent and Vaughn, both those guys obviously just getting here this summer. Trent's done a really nice job. He's gotten better inside the offense every single day. He's made some competitive plays, kind of what you saw on tape with his touchdowns there at New Mexico State. And then Vaughn's a guy that's done a really good job when he's had the ball in his hands, but he's a guy that's done a great job when he doesn't have the ball in his hands. So choosing to be physical and protection, playing really physical. So both those guys have come on and gotten better every day, which we've needed.
Is there any specific way you've seen Blake get better in the past week? And you said he's got some stuff to work on. What specifically on the field are you hoping for him to grow in?
We just want him to continue to clean up fundamentally. How we do what we do inside the pocket when there's things going on around us, do we have the ability to stay incredibly calm and eyes being on progression and being able to do some things that fundamentally he's not used to being coached that way. And so he's made great growth. I think today was probably the best day that he's had from a decision-making standpoint and fundamentally doing right and playing clean in the pocket. But we'll need to continue that.
We saw Gabe Jackson up here the other day, 10-year vet in the league. I mean, how important is it, you think, to have some of those guys come back and kind of impart some of their wisdom on your guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's huge, and it means the world, you know, to our guys, for those guys to be able to come back, pour into them, and talk about experience. You know, I think with those guys that did it for such a long time, having great understanding of, man, these guys lived it, and they don't have to talk about it. They can share what they went through every single day, and that's been huge for our guys. You know, we've got a bunch of guys that have come back, which has been awesome.
That's Mississippi State head football coach Jeff Lebby post-practice earlier today. Some interesting stuff there from the Bulldog head man. First off, I thought there were three really good-looking questions in there. Guys, some, the guy who asked those questions, I mean, he must be a heartbreaker. We'll talk in a lot more depth in just a bit about this, but very complimentary of his defense, which is interesting, and we talked a little bit about the defense earlier this week on the Thunder and Lightning podcast and how, you know, this defense doesn't have to be 1999, 2018 for this team to be very successful this year. So you have that. And then, you know, he obviously has some issues with his offense and their ability to pick up the speed at which Jeff Lebby wants to operate. You know, he talked about pre-snap penalties, cleaning those things up. That tells you that not everybody's on the same page just yet. So they've got a few days to work that out before this first scrimmage, and obviously they've got, you know, a few weeks to work it out before that first football game at Davis-Wade Stadium. We'll talk more about what Lebby had to say when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
If you're feeling thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning, live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino's down there in Studio X, making sure everything works the way it's supposed to work. Not me, just the equipment. I just do the best that I can. Hey, what day is this? 8/12. That's a Monday. Monday at the Southern Cultural Heritage Foundation in Vicksburg. It's line dance practice. They're getting everybody ready for line dancing. We did line dancing when I was in school. I can't still do it, but we did do it. But if you're interested in it, and I think it would be a fun thing to do, it's going to be every Monday night except for the third Monday of each month at the Southern Cultural Heritage Foundation, which is on Adams Street, which to me is still St. Francis Xavier Elementary, which is where I went to school when I was a little kid. $5 per person for a lot of family fun. For more information, call 601-631-2997 or email Stacy at southernculture.org. Stacy with an E. S-T-A-C-E-Y. There you go. All right. We just heard from Jeff Lebby. and heard what he had to say. Let's talk about his compliments for the defense. And on Mondays, was it Mondays or Monday or Tuesdays, Thunder and Lightning podcast, Robbie and I talked about the defense and said, you know, because we're hearing, you know, we're hearing that they're doing well. They're having a good camp. Now, you can never take too much from that. And I hope people remember that. I maybe I'm just jaded, but I still remember getting on these scouting reports about Antonio Hargrove having an incredible practice against that defense in 2003. And I was like, wow, that offense must be pretty good. No, the defense was putrid. So, you know, if one side of the ball is doing really well in scrimmages, the other side of the ball is not doing so well, it could be that they're both just not good. So I take everything with a grain of salt there. But to hear that the defense is doing well at all flies in the face of a lot of preseason thoughts about this defense. So you heard from Lebby there, and he used the term dominate, which I won't lie, I'm very surprised by. Because Lebby coming in, offense-minded head coach, system in place, got a veteran quarterback. I know that these guys are not new to they're new to Mississippi State, but they're not new to college football. You got a lot of guys who've played a lot of college football. Lebby addresses that in that interview. You know, Shapin's played a lot. Akari and Coleman have played a lot. Devon Booth has played a lot. The linemen have all played a lot of football. But he said defensively they look pretty good. And one thing I do think about this team defensively is, you know, from my dealings with Hutzler, is that effort and energy aren't going to be an issue. You know, I think this team will get after it for sure. Now, you've heard me say before that should be like the minimum expectation, right? Is that they play hard. When someone says, oh, that team plays hard, well, yeah, that's what they're out there for. And now that there's money involved, yeah, I expect them to play hard. You get an NIL deal, you should be playing hard. I don't think that anybody can disagree with me on that one. So, is it good to hear that the defense is playing well, or does it give you worries about the offense? When he talked about, you know, needing to clean up pre-snap penalties, when he talked about, you know, some of the things that they need to get done before this weekend's scrimmage, it makes, you know, I don't know if he's saying without saying there, but it makes you wonder, okay, is this offensive unit struggling a bit to play at the pace that Jeff Lebby wants to play at, which is hyperspeed? Which is, we want to get to on the line, we want to snap the ball, and we want there to be 25, 26 seconds still left on the play clock when we do that. Is that where the disconnect is? If that's the case, well, you've got, you know, 3 weeks to get that one figured out. If it's a deeper-seated issue than that, well, then that's a problem. So I'm anxious already to talk to Lebby after this scrimmage to get a better idea of where he is. Defenses are always ahead of the offenses this time of year. I agree with that statement, but what I would tell you is that I think State has more talent on the offensive side of the ball. Plus, you've got a coaching staff that have all worked together before for the most part and, you know, are on the same page, less so on the defensive side. So we'll see. We'll see how that pans out. One thing I like about Lebby, and, you know, again, God rest in peace, Mike Leach. But I mean, if you had asked Mike Leach a question about Kelly Jones, if Kelly Jones had been, you know, you just give me a random defensive player off Mike Leach's team, chances were he was going to give you a very vague answer because he didn't know much about that guy. Whereas Lebby went into great detail and talked about some plays that he missed during the scrimmage and some plays that he made during the scrimmage, a 60-yard pick six. Kelly Jones is one of the most intriguing players on this team to me, simply because of his stature. He's a cornerback that's 6'4". You just don't see that a lot. And that's a guy that when he signed with Mississippi State, I didn't think he'd play corner. I didn't even think he'd be in the secondary. I thought that's, okay, 6'4". He's going to put on 25, 30 pounds, and he'll be a linebacker or something like that. Or they're going to move him to offense, one of the two. See a lot of 6'4 receivers, but you don't see a lot of 6'4 corners. Just from a physical standpoint, if he can cover, he is going to have an advantage on every receiver he faces almost. How many 6'4", 200-plus pound receivers are there in the SEC this year that are good? And, I mean, at that size, he can match up with a tight end, you would think. So I'm very intrigued by him. And I think he will end up taking one of the starting cornerback jobs for Mississippi State, along, you know, on the other side with Bryce Pollock. Maybe one of the Memphis kids, Diego Brumfield is the name I've heard some good things about coming out of practice. State secondary, you know, to me is where the most of their questions are. You've got some veteran guys on the defensive line, DeMonte Russell being chief among them. At linebacker, Lewis has been in the program for 3 years. He just hasn't done very much. Blanton was a starter at South Carolina. J.P. Purvis has played a good bit. Dontari Russell looked really good at times a season ago. So I think you've got some pieces to work with there at linebacker. But in the secondary is where my questions are. Now, you've got some guys who've played at safety with Hunter Washington and Corey Ellington, but you know, by and large, that secondary, especially early in the season last year, was a real issue. We can't ever get the image of the LSU games and the South Carolina games and the way that State was just torn apart back there. Give me there. Isaac Smith is a guy. Somebody asked about him on the text line. I expect him to, if not be starting, to be competing for a starting spot at one of those safety positions. Just too talented to keep off the field, I think. So, you know, when you look at State's starting safeties, I think Washington and Smith will probably get a couple one of those spots. And then, I don't know. I don't know who that third safety might be. Maybe Brylan Lanier, if he ends up playing at safety instead of corner. I don't know. I don't know who that third. Maybe Jacoby Albert could get one of those spots. The transfer from Kentucky. There's another guy with some SEC experience from playing at Kentucky. State's, again, Levy talks about that. He says, you know, they've got a lot of guys who've played a lot of football. They just haven't played it together. They haven't played it at Mississippi State. You know? You look at State's offensive line. Ethan Miner's played in a bunch of games. Mac Pounders has played in a bunch of games. Marlon Martinez has played in some games. Jacoby Jackson has played in some games. Albert Reese has played in some games. But they haven't played five guys together. And Levy talks about that a little bit. He says, you know, we haven't had that game together yet. And that's where, you know, that real chemistry and cohesion starts to build when you get out there and do it in game. So we'll see if State's able to do that. So Sunday scrimmage is very interesting to me. I wish we could come out and see it. But we'll just have to go on what they tell us after the scrimmage. But by and large, I feel like maybe defensively State has a chance to be better than everybody is predicting them. And I've had some national people talk to me, and they're like, this defense is going to be like historically bad, right? And I'm just like, I don't think it's going to be historically bad. I don't know that it's going to be top half in the SEC, but it doesn't have to be. It just doesn't. This offense, if it delivers, if Jeff Lebby is able to give us the offense that he's given to Central Florida and Ole Miss and Oklahoma and all the stops before, then defensively, if you're just 8th, 9th, 10th in the SEC, you're going to have enough to win 6 games and go to a bowl game. And that is success in year 1 for Mississippi State. I know Ole Miss fans are going to be like, oh, 6 games, y'all. Got to live in that maroon bubble this year when it comes to what this season is. We'll worry about getting outside the bubble in years to come. This year it's about what Mississippi State is doing. It's about seeing improvement. It's about being better offensively from day one and finding a way to get back into postseason play. Getting to postseason play, 6 wins, get a 7th in the bowl game, and you've got a ton of momentum going into the offseason. Qualitative, not quantitative, isn't that what we said a few weeks ago? That's very much where Mississippi State football is going to be in 2024. So, again, we'll talk to Lebby on Sunday after that. So we'll have that audio on the Thunder and Lightning podcast, and we'll have it on Sports Talk Mississippi on Monday as well. All right, we'll wrap it up. We're going to talk a little baseball. Not great news for Mississippi State baseball today out of the transfer portal. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Parents and
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. If you ever missed the show, it's available to you as a podcast on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed, along with 5 days a week worth of Thunder and Lightning with me and Robbie Falk, plus a lot of other great commentary and content. And, of course, if you're an Ole Miss fan and you're listening, and I know that you are, check out the Rebel Report with my good friend Michael Borky, available to you. I think it's 3 times a week with him. We have his podcast as well, all the Ole Miss information that's fit to print or say in this instance. Will he go dive deep into the Lane Kiffin lawsuit? How deep does the corruption go with Lane Kiffin? I don't know the answer to that. Hopefully our legal system will prevail and he will be thrown under the jail. We'll see. Bad news today for Mississippi State baseball. As the transfer portal is starting to slowly wind down here, State was in on one last big prospect. That was Washington shortstop. I'm going to butcher this, but I'll do the best I can. Ivia Arquette. No relation to former world heavyweight champion David Arquette that I'm aware of. But he will be headed to Oregon State. This was one that really stung because I am aware, from an NIL perspective, State's offer dwarfed Oregon State. And yet he still chose to go to Oregon State. And so now, you know, I don't think there's much left in the portal for Mississippi State. And, you know, did they do everything they needed to do in the portal? I don't think so. They needed to get a couple of pitchers, a couple of bona fide guys that they could put out there on Friday and Saturday night, and they didn't do that. And, you know, I think they're – I mean, really the biggest transfer they got, it's not really a transfer. It's Hunter Hines coming back. So – I mean, they got some pieces there, but I just don't know, you know. And I've said a few times on this show that I said when it comes to baseball, I was way off on my prediction last year. I thought that team would not make the tournament. Instead, they were nearly a host. So I'm going to hold off. I'm going to really let the season play out a little bit before I start getting too deep into my analysis. But just on paper, State's lineup is probably not a top half of the SEC lineup. And its rotation, as it sits here today, is not a top half of the SEC rotation. So, is that good enough to get them back into the postseason? It might be. It probably will be. But is it good enough to meet the expectation of Mississippi State baseball that I hold and that I think a lot of you guys hold? Probably not. Probably not. So, it's going to be on Lemonis and staff to really work hard and put together a lineup and a team that can overachieve yet again. I think when you look at, you know, when you look at last year, I don't know if they overachieved or underachieved. They had more players drafted than any other team, and yet couldn't host. So did they overachieve or underachieve last year? I don't know. I guess it just depends on who you are. So that was a big miss for State. I thought they had a chance there. He did visit Starkville. I was told that the NIL package that State offered him versus what Oregon State offered him was shockingly different, and yet he has decided, and that's become a little bit of a trend over the past couple of years, that State has been able to offer better NIL deals and yet can't finish out some of these deals. So take of that what you will. Like I said, I'm going to hold off until I have as much information as I can to really, you know, and that's not saying that when we get to baseball season, I'm not going to make a prediction and I'm not going to talk about the team. But at the same time, I was so far off last year, it got me a little shook. How did that happen? I don't know the answer. So let's see some games get played before we go too far down the rabbit hole as far as, you know, what happens with my thoughts on this baseball team. But I will say it is disappointing to see that guy not end up at Mississippi State. State missed on some guys in the portal this year, which is kind of a theme. You know, last year missed on Luke Holman, missed on Braden Montgomery, missed on Paul Skeens a couple of years ago. I think all those guys made the right decisions for themselves. But, you know, you would like to be able to land players of that caliber. You're Mississippi State baseball. Best facilities, best fan base, great tradition. You won a national title, and since then, your baseball program has fallen apart. And it's just tough. It's difficult to explain. So, we'll see. All right. No practice availability for Mississippi State tomorrow, so no new audio to come out. But I do believe if you missed the Jeff Lebby audio tonight, it will be available to us tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi. It's also on the Thunder and Lightning podcast that you'll be hearing in the morning. You'll hear some of Robbie and I's thoughts on what Jeff Lebby had to say. As we, you know, now, today's the 7th. The first game is on the 31st, so 24 days away from Mississippi State versus Eastern Kentucky. It's one of those things where it's like, wow, I can't believe we're almost there. And at the same time, oh my gosh, how much longer do we have to wait? It's like when you're driving and you know you're like, okay, I know that when we get to exit 143, we're there. And you're at exit 140. You're like, oh, we're almost there, but you still got 3 more miles to go. Those are the longest 3 miles. This is the longest 3 miles. These 2.5 weeks we have before the start of football season are the longest. But what did Harvey Dent say? I promise you the dawn is coming. So we will get there. Guys, have a great rest of your Wednesday and enjoy your Thursday. And I'll be back with you tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi with Richard Cross and Michael Borky. Until then, for Rhino down there in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.